You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Same corner, same time. Beautiful April Fool's Day, Monday morning. Family, how y'all doing? Y'all good?
Never been better. Nick dropped some exciting news before you joined, Silk, that he is now going to be a two-time Masters attendee. Some of us have never been able to go once.
You said two times. I thought he had twins on the way. I was like, yo, you got a new ultra scan? No?
No. Heading to Augusta. I'll probably be right after Stadium and Gale a week from today. I will be on the road up to Augusta. The beautiful Augusta and the Garden of Eden, Dan.
Garden of Eden. I can't even begin to tell you how jealous I am, but that's okay. I hope you have a fantastic time.
Yep, might apply for a new credit card just to run that baby up in the pro shop.
That's the American way.
You driving a Tesla up there, or are you flying? Like, what's the vibes here?
I'm meeting my friends from South Florida. I'm going to meet them in Jacksonville. Drop the car off in Jacksonville, huh? My grandma's to my grandma. Oh, okay. Sorry, Aunt Mo, my aunt.
What's the insurance looking like?
I'm dropping it off at my aunt's house. They live in a nice neighborhood. Tom Coughlin used to be a neighbor of theirs. He was the Jaguars coach.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that, so leaving the car in a safe neighborhood.
North side? North side?
Brother, I could not tell you where anything in Jacksonville is other than Maxwell House and the stadiums.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, congratulations. I'm happy for you.
Good weekend, football and baseball. Florida gets it done again on the diamond.
They win the series. They have two losses on the week. We'll talk about baseball. Mm-hmm. Understand? Two losses on the week, both run ruled in both of them. The other two wins that they have, bottom of the ninth, shenanigans, pulls off victories. I guess that's all that matters, right? If you can win two out of three on a weekend. Marshall. Until you get to Omaha, that's a pretty good recipe for success. But, yeesh.
Yeah, the magic number, every year is 20. If you win, there's 10 SEC series. If you go 20 and 10, you typically win the SEC. If you win the SEC, you're probably going to be a host, a regional and or national seed hosting. It's a tough conference. So I put something out. I wrote a story today about some of the issues they've had midweek. But if you keep winning two out of three on the weekend in the SEC, you're going to end up in a good spot. So would like to not see them go 2-2 every week. You know, a nice 3-1 week would be nice. A 4-0 week would be beautiful.
Right.
But they're handling business on the weekend. In dramatic fashion.
Weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about it as the show goes on. Silk, how's your weekend, my friend?
Working on a weekend as usual, like my man Drake said. So just a whole lot of work, getting it done. Spend a little time with the family. It's also Easter weekend or whatever you believe in. Happy to that. But Easter weekend, just vibed out. Had to make a couple trips down to Miami. It's always a traffic
nightmare.
Poop show. I was about to, this is a family show, so I can't get too graphic. But it's always a poop show going down there. But nonetheless, like, just good vibes, man. Just work. Got a big week of rollout with the new platform. The name's changing. Won't be Roll Up Network. Y'all just stay tuned to that Twitter account today, the Instagram account. So names are changing. Platform's changing. Got a chamber full of big interviews on the way. Got another big one this weekend with a Gator that's in the NFL as well. So we're going to keep this thing churning, but just business work.
Awesome. I hope everybody had a great weekend. It seems like everybody did. So excited to to get on to the show today. Welcome everybody that is in and watching YouTube right now. Appreciate you, Trav. We'll get into your birthday shenanigans here in a second. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Lucy. We've talked about them extensively on the show. So again, if you are looking for straight to your door nicotine products, look no further than Lucy. That's going to be lucy.co/stadium. Anywhere from 2 milligrams all the way up to 12 milligrams. 2 milligrams is going to be for your early and new adopters. Your 12 milligrams are going to be those of you that like to get punched in the face a little bit. Any flavor profile that you want that you've maybe seen at a local grocery store directly to your door, mint, espresso, apple ice, a whole litany of flavors, if you will. So go check them out, lucy.co/stadium. They'll get you 15%, or pardon me, 20% off of your order. If you choose to do a recurring membership, you'll get 15% off of your first order as well. So always free shipping, 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. Again, that's lucy.co/stadium, 20% off, always free shipping. Here is the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, gentlemen, happy birthday, Trav. I know you said you were going to turn up over the weekend. Seems like you did. We had to recover on Saturday and Sunday. We're fired up that you're here. Got to get your Bender game up if you have to spend 2 days recovering. So appreciate you guys hopping into the show. Nick, let's talk. Let's just pick up baseball where we left off there. So the Gators beat Mississippi State in the series 2-1. They lose a mid-game week to Jacksonville. Made a bunch of Jacksonville fans mad. The fans of the city on the internet on Tuesday. Wasn't meant to be a dig at your fair city. I just didn't want you guys to block the only building that was recognizable in the city. But Nick, talk to us about the weekend in, or the midweek game against FSU. Gators got run ruled, and then the Mississippi State game. Give us a high level highlights, if you will.
Yeah, I got picked my car up in Jacksonville. Had a mishap leaving the title for the car I was trading in. So did a Jacksonville, Gainesville trip. 5 days later, I was back in Dan's favorite city of Jacksonville. Florida State beat Florida handedly. Every facet of the game, pitching, defense, hitting. They're a good team. I think they're a little bit older. They had some good success in the transfer portal. First series that Florida State has beaten Florida since 2015. They'll get one more crack at the Noles, I think, in 2 weeks. Not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. I won't be there. I'll be in Augusta. Florida. I'm just going to keep saying it. that's funny. So Florida will try to avoid getting swept at FSU in 2 weeks, but we'll need to play better.
What's going on during the week? Right. I know there's different practice. Pitching. I know the team's maybe not as dialed in. How can we get the team a little more dialed in? Don't expect to win every game in baseball, obviously, but the run rules, kind of the mishaps and some losses. And spare me with the number of scholarships that are available in baseball and everybody's got a good team and all that. It seems like a diabolically different team during the week than on the weekend. So put on your psychology hat and tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I think Tuesdays and Wednesdays, they really only play Tuesdays now, but the first month of the year, you play Tuesday, Wednesday. Those games that Florida uses to throw freshmen, you have to find out if you can trust freshmen. You need to get guys innings. Florida leads the SEC in freshman pitcher usage. They've thrown 10 different freshmen overall. And they've thrown 6 in SEC games. The next closest would be Tennessee, who's thrown 8 freshmen overall. And then there's 6 teams that are tied with 3. So significantly more freshmen. Florida went after some arms in the transfer portal. Quite frankly,
they don't have one, right?
Kelly Austin was a senior from UCLA. the way the NFL, the way the MLB draft kind of works is strange. You get a pool of money for your first 10 picks. But there's wiggle room where you can have communication with a guy and say, hey, we're not going to draft you. If you don't get drafted, this is what we can sign you for. We'll get you into our program now. So that happened with Kelly Austin. He signs a deal with the Houston Astros and doesn't make it to campus. But that'd be a guy that you would use out of the bullpen, could start a midweek game. There's NIL is not just football, basketball. It extends to baseball too. There's guys, Jack Cagnell might be the best player in the country, and there's multiple guys on Mississippi State, on LSU, at FSU that are making more NIL money than Jack Cagnell. Now, listen, Jack's going to be a top five draft pick. He's going to be fine. But there's just schools like Arkansas, Mississippi State, LSU. They just have bigger checkbooks, and it's making recruiting out of the transfer portal more difficult. And that's fine for Florida. They can recruit really well out of high school and have, but you're going to be a younger team. And Florida, I think, is built to win three-game series. They've shown that this year. But you're going to have to throw younger players. And you still have the COVID kids. So I think like Hayden Travinsky hit a home run off of Alex Philpott in LSU. And I'm looking and I'm like, Hayden Travinsky's 24 years old. Alex Philpott's 18.
That's egregious. You don't really update your LinkedIn. Yeah.
You don't really get, you know, 23, 24 year olds at an LSU out of Florida because the quality and the level of player talent that they're getting stays in school for 3 years and leaves. So I think this is roughly the last year of those COVID seniors, the super seniors. So it'll start shaking out a little bit differently, but Florida's going to use, has used, and will use Tuesday to get their freshman innings. And then you use those Tuesday outings. Okay, well, who can we trust to come out of the bullpen in SEC play? And you're getting those opportunities on Tuesday. So it is what it is. I think the 2016 team went 16-0 midweek and then went 0-2 in Omaha. The 2017 team was 8-7 midweeks and won the College World Series. So yeah, you want to win your midweek games. The reason I say it's like, hey, there's 11.7 scholarships and that teams are talented is to let people know it's not football. Jacob DeGrom went to Stetson. Like Stetson has talent. FAU, FIU has talent. FAU, JU, all of these teams. I mean, Bethune-Cookman came to Gainesville and had a guy throwing 95 miles an hour in the eighth inning. Because of 11.7 scholarships, Florida Bright Futures, Florida Prepaid, it makes a lot more sense. If I don't get a scholarship from Florida, Florida State, Miami, I can, because of the, if I have Florida Prepaid, Florida Bright Futures, and a 25% scholarship, I'm getting paid to play baseball if I stay home versus going to a school like Georgia or Tennessee, where now I'm paying out-of-state tuition, only getting that 25%. Florida Prepaid's not covering any of that. I'm paying to go to school. So Florida has the number one strength of schedule. So when you look at a team like JU, yes, it would be embarrassing if the University of Florida lost to JU on the football field. Baseball's a different animal, and it's because of the scholarship limitations for baseball.
All right, so Gators lose 14-3 to FSU, and then they have some heroics in the eighth inning on Friday.
Yeah,
they win that game 7-6. They score what, 5 runs in the last 2 innings there, Nick?
Yeah, Florida came into that game, and Mississippi State was really, really good. I was impressed with them. They played really good defense. David Mershon, I don't know if you're tampering, but my goodness, that boy can play some baseball. Just like a pest at the plate, just really good pitches. And with like a 1-2 count, 0-2 count, he's just fouling them off, plays unbelievable defense. If you watch the game, he was wearing, I can't call them baseball pants, had them rolled up so high. Like my guy was wearing 6-inch inseam baseball shorts.
Nice.
Play baseball, which was a look, but he can play. I don't care what you're wearing. If you can play, he can. Florida had three hits going into the eighth inning. So through seven innings, had only three hits. And your catcher, who came into the game hitting a buck 70, had two of them. They ended up scoring five runs in the eighth and ninth innings to walk off on Friday. Saturday, Liam Peterson, another one of the freshmen, started off really well and then just has a disaster of an inning, which has kind of been a bugaboo for Florida all season, where you're rolling, you're rolling, you're rolling, and then you give up five in an inning, or you give up six in an inning, or you give up five over two innings back to back. They have to clean that up, and you can't have those blow up innings and play from behind all the time. So Saturday got away from Florida quickly,
but no need to worry about Coral Springs High School legend David Kopp as the pitching coach, right?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. I am seeing a lot of people questioning David Kopp because of the pitching, don't do it, Dan. No, but I think Kopp's fine. And I think
just young in learning.
Yeah. Florida has 18 pitchers. 11 of them are freshmen. Shout out to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas alum.
We will not do that, Nick.
Shout out to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas alum Christian Rodriguez. Had a bone spur that he had to get taken care of in his elbow before the year, so he's missing the year. Cade McDonald is a guy from Tampa, Sickles High School. He was up to 95 the night that he blew his elbow out. So,
jeez.
Rodriguez was the Gatorade Player of the Year last year in high school. Oh, wow. He was Mr. Dairy Farmers Florida Baseball Player of the Year last year.
That's an incredible sponsorship. That's my favorite sponsorship I've ever heard.
He finished his high school, or he finished his senior season with a 0.69 ERA, nice. A really nice ERA, 117 strikeouts to just 13 walks. 117 strikeouts in 70.2 innings. He was 12-0 in 13 starts. McDonald in 64 games in Tampa playing at Sickles. Really, really good competition there. Hit .488 with 20 home runs, 19 doubles, 77 RBIs, 55 runs. On the mound, had a career 1.37 ERA and a 20-3 record. So these are two guys who would be playing a ton for you right now, would be starting on Tuesdays, would be coming out of the bullpen to pitch. You wouldn't have to rely on the same five to six guys.
What about my man Brandon Neely? He went from a closer to Is he going to be starting going forward?
Yeah, I think he'll be starting going forward. He was really, really good. So he was seventh on the team in innings pitched, and he's one of the best arms on the team. And it was a luxury to have one of your best arms closing games. But if you're not getting opportunities to close games, then he's not pitching, and you need him to pitch. You're going entire weekends where Brandon Neely's pitching an inning. So I think the move was made to put Cade Fisher into the bullpen. Florida needs another lefty in the bullpen. Cade had struggled. They put him into the bullpen. Brandon was really good until he hit about 70 pitches. And I think because you haven't been stretched out, you haven't thrown 80, 90, 100 pitches yet, you have to build the arm back up. So I would expect Brandon to start again Friday on the road at Missouri. Cade looked really, really good coming out of the bullpen. He doesn't throw really hard. And I think when you start him, he has to try to worry about lasting into the game, going in the sixth, into the seventh inning. And you're not really able to just kind of like rear back and just let it fly. So like at A&M, he was like 87 to 91. He comes in Saturday and he's topping 94. And you don't have to worry about leaving stuff in the tank if you are only going to pitch three innings. So I think it's a better role for Cade. And Brandon was really sharp until he wasn't. And I think he just kind of ran out of gas, and that'll come with more starts. You'll build that arm stamina back up. So I think Florida's in a good place. Missouri's a team. Listen, it's a long trip to get out there, but it's a team that I think has two wins in the SEC right now. New coaching staff. I get in trouble when teams hear me say that they're not very good, but Missouri's not a very good baseball team right now.
Yeah, I don't think Missouri are listening to the program today. But yeah, well, there we go. Do we have a midweek game or just Missouri?
FAMU, the Rattlers FAMU. Coming down on Tuesday night. So Florida, this will be the first week that Florida doesn't play a ranked opponent. If you go back, I'm looking at their schedule. The last time they played a non-ranked opponent was Jacksonville and then Florida State. But the weekends have been number 4, Texas A&M, number 5, LSU. Florida State, I think, was ranked 12th when they played them on Tuesday. And then Mississippi State was ranked number 21. So you get unranked FAMU and unranked MIZZOU this week before going to Florida State. And then it's a really, really tough stretch for Florida. After coming back from Missouri, it's at Florida State. You host South Carolina, another top 25 matchup. Then you have to go at Vanderbilt, at Arkansas versus Tennessee. So I thought if you could win 5 out of 6, that'd be great. 5 out of 6 meaning beating Mississippi State and Missouri 5 out of 6 times. 4 obviously is what you need to do in these two game or these two series, but getting 5 out of 6 because this next 12 game stretch is really, really difficult for Florida.
Perfect. Well, that concludes baseball talk for the week. All of you that listened, we appreciate it.
Gave me like 15 minutes. Love that.
There is some positive, some negative comments here about baseball being the first 20 minutes, but that's okay. That's what we do. We try to provide you as much as we can. At the University of Florida, we know that you're here for football. So because of that, we're going to do a quick ad read. Go visit our friends over at homefieldapparel.com. You will see a bunch of vintage Florida Gator logos, about 20 different varieties that you can choose from for any friend, relative, coworker, significant other in your life that cheers on the University of Florida. If they don't, for whatever reason, cheer on the University of Florida, they have about 100 other different schools that you can look forward to taking a look at. A lot of really cool retro logos out there. So again, that is homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. It'll get you 15% off of your first order. Again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. Tyler said there's a huge bus at Sparkman Wharf today. Does anybody know what that's about here in Tampa? Tyler, I don't. I live one block away, so I'll go take a look after we are done today. All right, so Nick, football is back in full swing. We heard from Jabbar Jalouk this week. We heard from Billy Napier. We'll go through some of those quotes, but a number of practices this week. Nick, what can you tell us about the football team?
Football team back on the practice field, back in the swamp on Saturday for the first scrimmage. Posted some notes there, but I think it's – you're probably in like the doldrums of spring right now. Practice 7, 8, 9. You get tired of hitting each other. You might get some tempers flaring. Don't spit at anyone. Jamari Lyons got kicked out against the FSU game. Shout out to Gene DeLance. Saw him get kicked out of a UFL, XFL, whatever they call it.
Still listen.
Gene DeLance got kicked out of a game for spitting.
His one opportunity, and so he gets kicked out of the game.
Yeah, poor guy. Don't spit. So we can talk about the scrimmage and stuff, but
let's talk about the scrimmage and stuff. That's what we're
right in the middle, right in the middle of it. I think overall the defense is ahead. Won the first day, 4 picks on the day that I was told about. We talked to Billy Napier after. He said they're in a good place. Where Tuesday he thought the offense really had a great day. Thursday the defense had a great day, and then Saturday. Maybe the defense overall had a better day. I think every quarterback was picked off. And I like Florida's defensive secondary. I think they're getting more athletic. And then the one for me, I think we put it in there that DJ Lagway probably going through some growing pains right now. A lot on his plate in terms of, you know, the first 7 practices are all install. You're learning how to be a college student, how to live on your own. Just going through some growing pains right now, nothing unexpected. And you're not playing a football game, in April. So you'll be all right. Overall, I think the running back room is really impressive. I like Katie Daniels. I like Jaden Ball, Treyon Webb, Montrell Johnson. Still wondering how that and nothing's decided yet, but still wondering how that running back room shakes out. What's the
wishbone?
Yeah. Wishbone. What's the percentages? I was actually wondering. So they're doing, there's a proposed rule to put radio communications like the NFL has in into the college game, which I think you should.
Hasn't that been approved, or is that just on the
docket? I don't know if it's been approved. They're using it right now in spring.
Right.
But you can only have one player. And so, like, what if you had a package where you had DJ and Graham? Like, do you have to have a secondary helmet for DJ that doesn't have radio in it?
I've seen this before, Nick. That's how Jim McElwain started his career, right?
Yeah.
Was it McElwain or was it Muschamp that didn't want to? It was Driscoll and Brissett. So that was Muschamp.
Yeah,
rolled them out. They're like, we don't have a starter. You're both going to start. Yeah. If we do that again, it's over.
Bro, just trolling.
I will turn off the TV and never watch again.
But that's just a, you know, listen, we dealt with a lot of logistic issues last year. I'm just thinking of potential logistic issues. Ask the questions in spring, have the answers before the fall. But I think for me, I really like the running back room. Shamir DK. I think the instant connection with Graham, well, it's not instant. Guys have played together for 3 years at Wisconsin. That was evident Saturday. I think he's more of a possession receiver than a guy who's going to take the top off of defense, but that remains to be seen. I think you still need, when the portal opens here, April 15th, I think Florida will be looking and shopping for interior offensive lineman, another tight end, and a receiver. I think those are three positions that you need to get better at. So yeah, I think Florida's offensive line is also playing without Cam Waits, who's dealing with a calf injury, playing without Austin Barber. So you're getting Devon Manuel, Arkansas transfer at left tackle, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon at right tackle. Jake Slaughter continues to play well. And, you know, when I question a guy and they answer the questions, I give them their flowers. Jake Slaughter's a guy who I thought before last year, like, might be time to move on. Go find somewhere where you can play. He played really well as a first-time starter outside of the Utah game, which was his first start on the road. He continues to progress. He continues to get better. He's locked down that center role. I think you'll have Barber and Crenshaw Dixon on either end. I think Najee Harris will be a first-time starter at left guard. I don't know that Damian George, I haven't seen enough from him. I think his feet were too slow to play tackle. They tried to move him inside. I think he needs to get a lot stronger to play inside. So Bryce Lovett's a guy that I keep hearing good things about, a redshirt freshman who's playing inside. Billy Napier and Rob Sale both said he can play tackle as well. But if I'm looking at the offensive line, I think you almost have a two deep with Barber, Waits, Manuel and Crenshaw Dixon at tackle. You need interior help. So that's I think where Bryce Lovett will probably stick playing right guard. So Florida can use help. They keep telling me that, like, the pocket's cleaner, the offensive line's playing better, and it's just like I'm not selling it, I'm not buying it, I'm holding. We're watching the market.
You're looking to see if there's a price drop or price increase. I got you.
Window shopping.
You're just window shopping a little bit. So, all right. So offensive line, we talked a little bit about. Running back, we talked a little bit about. Obviously, Jabbar Jalouk had a lot of great things to say about Montrell Johnson. I think the biggest quote that you're going to see is he's the ultimate player. I think he's going to leave here as one of the best backs to play at the University of Florida when it's all said and done. That's a very high ceiling, but ultimately, do you guys buy in that quote? You think Montrell Johnson is going to be an improved player, kind of the same player? Have you seen anything different out of him, Nick, or is it just the consistency that we've seen out of him for the last few years?
I mean, he is what he is. I think he's a really good running back. I thought the hate went too far for him. And Trevor Etienne had a little more burst than him. The offensive line was bad. And because Trevor Etienne had a little more burst, when Trevor Etienne broke his tackle, it was like at the line of scrimmage to gain 1 yard. Montrell had to break his tackle 1 yard deep in you know, behind the line of scrimmage to gain his 1 yard. Montrell's got 2,490 rushing yards through 3 years. He's run for at least 800 yards every single year he's been in college. So yeah, I think he would have at least another 800 yard year in him, if not maybe getting more carries, because you don't have, I don't think, a running back that is as developed as him. The three other guys on the roster are younger. If he gets more carries, I think he could be a 1,000 yard back.
Okay. I think that might be challenging with the number of people that are in the room,
That's why I keep asking what will be the split. Last year, the split was like 45-45-10 between Montrell, Etienne, and them. Do you give Montrell – like, I don't think Kanan Daniels and Jaden Ball are going to get 50 carries each. I think you're still going to run the ball the same amount, and there's just going to be less. And I don't know that – Tre'Jon Webb and Montrell are going to split the ball like Montrell and Trevor did. So I think there's going to be more opportunity for Montrell.
Do we want to prognosticate a little bit today and see, do you expect us to run more without Ricky Pearsall, without, you know, maybe some of the proven wide receiver experience that the Gators went into last season with? Do you think the Gators run more, the same, or less than last season? Silk, we'll start with you.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Nick. You've talked a lot this show.
A lot. This is
words per minute for you is high.
Right. High. Putting in reps.
I will have to see and hear a little bit more things pertaining to the offense. Ideally, if looking at the receiver room and what we did last year, I mean, we all expected Billy Napier to run the ball more than he has since he's been here. So I wouldn't really like cash in on the lack of playmakers on the outside or whatever we may have going on to, we're going to run the ball more because I expect Billy Napier to run the ball more in its entirety. And he just hasn't, but the lack of receivers, what I'm hearing scrimmage wise is a concern still. That we got a lot of young playmakers in that room. Andy Jean has been injured and having spot duty in spring again. We dealt with that last fall. It's a lot of young boys, and I don't know, man. We got to find an outside receiver in the portal of some sort. Offensive line is another area with a question mark going into spring. Damian George moving inside doesn't encourage me with the run game. Hopefully, you know, he can hold his own moving from outside to inside. That was, you know, the projections of him moving inside, but hearing that we still need guards, the tackles is not yet solidified. We just got a lot of improvement to do on the offensive side of the ball.
No, I think the tackles are solidified. That's what I was trying to say. I think you've got four guys there. Just two of them are hurt in spring.
Yeah.
That's a big caveat.
Yeah. That was our issue all last year was
consistency. Five equals one. But you don't have the same five every time.
Correct. You just need the continuity and the chemistry in practice, like a healthy unit to be able to build that.
Yep.
Up, you know, and we're just struggling with that health wise. So that's going to still be a question mark. Two offensive line coaches, the lack of continuity, lack of depth, players being so injured in that room. I don't know if we're going to run the ball more, you know, it depends on Dan Mullen era. It seemed like we pass protected better than we run block. And then we get to the Billy Napier era. It seemed like we run block better than we pass pro. So it's just, to me, bro, it's just like what we good at is what we probably going to do more. And I don't know what we're good at offensive line wise, because that's going to make everything go. I do want to see, because even from a passing perspective as well, when Montrell Johnson come out of the game, what running back is coming in? Can they pass pro? Because that was ETN's knock. You most likely having a sophomore in Trey Webb or true freshman coming in that duty to be able to pass pro. Bro, we just still, it's just a lot of questions. I can't get hyped. I can't get down. It's just watch and see for me at this point, bro. I just want to see how it all rolls out week one.
Nick, tight ends. I know that we've talked about tight ends on this show before. We're talking about the position this time with you. who's standing out there? Boardingham, Hansen. I know that they've played probably the most of the folks that are returning. I know that Zipper is still out right now. How's that unit looking? Because obviously that's a big part of pass blocking and being a receiver threat and run blocking, pardon me.
Yeah, I think they're just fine. Zip hadn't done anything. I haven't heard. I've been asking, like, hey, did he have a setback? Did he have like another surgery? Like, what's going on? Because you had knee surgery before the season, like in the first month of the season. You're like, did you do rehab? Like, what are you doing? He's really not practicing.
You think
not,
that they,
really not. He just isn't practicing.
I have an idea what might be going on here. Just keeping quiet. Might be a portal. You know, I'm not saying that he is, but that might be a situation, right?
I gotta ask him, Ma, what's going on with these Lakeland kids?
If so, like, I would like, what would his options be? Undersized tight end, not a whole lot of film out there. Like, what would your options be if it's not UF? And it may be a scheme fit as well. I know Billy Napier and the guys like bigger tight ends that could block and do some other things. He's more of an H-back type, but. If I got 1 year left, like, I don't know what his options would be if the transfer portal is a thing, but there's no other reason for him not to be, unless they're being super cautious. I mean, you could still ride a bicycle and be around the team doing things on the side. So I'm curious to see how all that plays out.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've got two tight ends, Hayden Hansen and Arlis Boardingham. Tony Livingston still seems to be coming along slowly. Okay.
What's coming along? Slowly mean? Is it just understanding assignments? Is it getting open? I mean, obviously, I know that he split a lot of his time between basketball and football as well.
Yeah, so he was a gray shirt kid too.
And he was an offensive lineman, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was the question when he signed with Mullen. It's like, okay, they're listing him as an offensive lineman, but he's like 6'4", 270, 260. And then he would lose weight when he would play basketball. And then you're like, all right, well, he's 240 now. Mm-hmm. That's not an offensive lineman. So I see it as a two tight end room right now to me. I don't know. Sure. Zipper is not playing. I don't know what his deal is. When we watch practice, we only get, you know, the 15 minutes of individual drills. Tight ends are, you know, catching passes, and Tony looks fine. He catches the ball. He moves all right. He moves well. He's an athletic, really athletic kid.
Yeah.
And then they immediately go into blocking drills, and he's just okay. I think Hayden Hansen is probably your best blocker. Arlis Boardingham's got some work to do. He's your more athletic. Like, you definitely have – if you could put Hayden Hansen and – Arlis Boardingham together, you'd have you'd be talking about, you know, an all SEC potential type of guy.
Just don't give him Hayden feet.
No. We're picking and choosing.
Bro,
people are getting in their feelings when I said that I thought Hayden Hansen's like, that is Jonathan Odom.
No. I think I get it because Odom was running like it hurt towards the end there, bro. I don't think Hayden runs like
Hayden
it
hurt. Hansen. Okay, so Hayden Hansen's a healthy Jonathan Odom. Like, he's a Jonathan Odom, I thought, was a productive receiver or a productive tight end. Like, not exciting when the ball is in his hand, but like, he got first downs. A willing blocker, gonna win most of his blocking assignments. If you thought that was like a diss, then you need to put more respect on Jonathan Odom's name. Jonathan Odom is a fine player, and Hayden Hansen's like a fine Odom player.
I'm gonna feel disrespected a little bit.
Hayden Hansen is Jonathan Odom with healthy knees.
Okay.
He's not that much faster.
Hayden has a hive, and they're gonna be at your throat a little bit, bro. Like, he has
bad, real Hayden hive. My bad.
Yeah, Hayden hive, man. Double H squared.
Hayden Hive. Maybe I just thought Jonathan. I thought higher of Jonathan Odom than the people who are angry about me comparing the two of them. I think they're very similar players.
Hansen Hive is here. Hansen is a better blocker than Jonathan Odom. Now, if Hayden Hansen can catch like or better than Jonathan Odom, Hansen will hurt defenses. You heard it here from the Hive.
I gotta step my line game up then.
All right. So there was a let me. Speaking of lying, while I find this stat, I texted Lion. I played golf on Friday, sent him a picture of a glizzy. He was, he was offended by it. I called him a glizzy guzzler. He didn't love that either.
Oh, all right. Woo, Paul.
Yeah. Screech some rundown on you about that, man.
Callie Burbia here said, isn't looking for a wide receiver a knock against Andy Jean or Aiden Mizell? Your thoughts?
I don't know if it's a knock, right? I think
it's crazy. It's crazy.
Nick, your words per minute.
No, he got me.
Okay. You have to like, but then when they don't sign somebody in the portal, it'll be like this staff sucks. They didn't go and get someone. And it's just like Andy Jean hasn't practiced because he has a hamstring injury. Aiden Mizell is a track star learning how to play receiver. And if the coaching staff wants to go get a senior, a guy in his last year who can play right now, it's like, oh, that's a knock on those guys. But then it's a knock on the staff if they don't recruit the portal.
Let's take the feelings of the fan base out of it, right? Like when you look at the position as a whole. Okay. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's a knock. You need a balance of proven. And that's what the portal allows you to do, get proven talent out of it and to go alongside your unproven talent. I think Aiden Mizell is a football player. He just got to learn the college game and develop a little bit. He is fast. He is a track guy that plays football, but I think he's a football player. I think his younger brother is fire as well. I like both of those kids. But it's just not a lot of proven talent in the wide receiver room. The one guy we did get out of the portal has some chemistry with Graham Mertz, but it's not a lot to look forward to as far as taking the ceiling off and going deep, because that's what we want to do more as fans. Like, that's what we're looking forward to is the offense to go more vertical. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've gotten that yet. And it's going to be a little bit more difficult because whoever you go into the portal has to be outside the SEC. So it's going to be interesting to see what we do in those regards. But I do believe in those young boys. Eugene, I just think that we got a bunch of inside receivers. We went from a bunch of physical, big outside guys with Billy G and Mullenstaff. And to now, I think we have a lot of guys that are slot receivers that could do a lot of similar things as far as like even the freshman Tank Hawkins, the other young boy that came in for the early entry, they're all tweener guys that could take jet sweeps, work the slot. We don't have a whole lot of outside receivers, and I think that's what we need to go for in the portal. Just because Andy Jean would be one of those outside guys, but he's dealing with hamstring stuff.
Right. I think your only wide receivers that the Gators have on their roster on scholarship that are over 6 feet are Marcus Burke, who's in his fourth year. We're waiting to see him kind of come into his own. Khalil Jackson, who obviously had some spectacular circus catches last season. And Shamari DK comes in at a quarter of an inch over 6 feet. Aiden Mizell, 6'1", Andy Jean, 6'1", and then Jaquavion Frazier is in his fifth year, is 6'3.5". So that's it. You have a couple of walk-ons, a couple of guys that have earned scholarships, and that's about it, and a couple scholarship guys. So definitely a shorter room than the Gators are used to. I think if you go get a bigger possession wide receiver, like Silk said, like Nick was saying, I don't think that they necessarily take the spot of one of those guys. They're just different, right? And you need to have a balance of different body types, different speeds, different abilities that are on the football field at one time. So it's a good question overall. Nick, back to you. Get your Energizer Bunny recalibrated. Talk to us a little bit. I know some Gator fans, some FSU fans trolling a little bit that DJ Lagway may not be a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback as a true freshman. What you've seen out of him, very goofy. Nick, give us a little bit of your thoughts on what you've seen out of DJ Lagway, areas of opportunities. It's still just learning the speed of the game. Obviously, there's a lot more going on. Everybody you're playing is also a scholarship SEC player, but give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think in talking to Billy Napier, it's almost like you've got a 23, almost, he'll be 20, Graham will be 24 in December, a 23-year-old quarterback going into his final year, second year of the system. It's more collaborative with Graham because of his knowledge, depth of knowledge of the playbook. And it's not just knowing the plays and then knowing where guys are going to be, it's knowing, okay, well, why are we calling this play? This is setting up. This is a play that we're trying to just get yards, or this is a play that's setting up something later in the game. Whereas you have an 18-year-old kid who's learning how to be a college student, live on his own, while throwing an entire playbook of installation over the course of 2 weeks at you, it's just a different quarterback meeting with those two guys. They've put stuff into the playbook. I guess putting it into the playbook is probably not the right term. It's in the playbook, but wasn't used because Graham doesn't run a 4.4 at 6'4", 240 pounds. So you're not going to run him like you would run DJ. So I think there are running packages for DJ that have already been installed. And I do think that there is a sense that there's no reason to redshirt DJ Lagway. If he is what we think he's going to be, he's not going to be here for 4 years. And if he isn't, you'd probably hit the transfer portal and you would recruit over him. I don't think that's going to be the case, but either way, why would you redshirt someone? He's not going to be here 4 years. He's not going to be in college for 4 years, I don't think. So I think that the goal is to get DJ ready to contribute this year. That being said, make no mistake about it, it's Graham Mertz's team. And I think Graham is confident in his role enough that he's helping DJ along the way as well. So
what role do you think DJ Lagway has? I expect DJ Lagway to play some this year. I don't expect him to play a ton, obviously barring injury. What kind of role? He's not like a Tim Tebow type, right? So you're not going to see him being a bulldozer out there, but what kind of role do you think Lagway has in the offense this season? Nick Silk, whoever wants to go.
I said back in before they signed it, was on the spaces, kicking it, talking, and I thought that DJ Lagway would play his freshman year, maybe in packages his form, or if we got up on some terrible teams, you would see him come in and get some minutes, or if we started to lose games, and this is no slight on Graham Mertz on who he may be in his development, because I think he's been doing just fine, but if we reach a point in the season and we're not winning games, the pressure may be too much for Billy to keep Graham Mertz as starter if we're losing games. It's just, playing the if a little bit. But I think he plays year one. I'm not caught up in the first couple weeks or the first week of practice as a true freshman, enrollee. I'm not caught up in any of that. Any practice reports come back, I'm cool with it. And there's no comparison to him and Tim Tebow, but every Tim Tebow practice updates when he got on campus, his entire time at UF was terrible. He was a terrible practice player. The delivery was trash, a lot of things. But, when the whistle got blown for the games, it was a different story. Lagway is more than a gamer. He's a student of the game. I expect him to get sharper as practices go on. By the time we get to fall camp, he's going to be a full-fledged QB2. With some packages, like Nick said, some running packages and whatnot, a la Tim Tebow. We'll see how it all plays out. But I don't get into the Heisman talk. This kid is a future NFL pro, and he's going to take time to develop and get where he needs to be. And I do trust Billy Napier in developing quarterbacks, just to keep it a bean. I've seen what he did in limited time with AR. AR did get better, did get drafted very high. Graham Mertz is going to go from a guy that everybody said was trash at Wisconsin. He's going to be drafted. That's going to happen, right? So I trust the development from O'Hara and Billy Napier. It's just going to take some time. But by the time fall rolls around, he's going to be ready to go as QB2.
Yeah, cool. And they didn't use AR the way they wanted him to. I think that if you look at the quarterback depth of that room, when Jack Miller goes down, you've got Jalen Kitna, who wasn't ready to play, and then right away, first drive against Kentucky, AR gets rolled up on. So I think if you asked Billy Napier, Ryan O'Hara, and they gave you an honest answer, we weren't running Anthony Richardson the way that we should have been running him, because we didn't – if he got hurt, we were screwed. Like, we were not going to win football games with Jalen Kitna at that time. Towards the end of the year – I think Kitten had developed and got better. But you've got a situation now where you can run DJ. You've got an older guy, Clay Millen, who would be the third string behind DJ. The room is a little bit light. But yeah, I think DJ will run the football. He's more than that. But I think right now him running the football gives you a completely different dynamic, gives your offense a different dynamic. The ball comes out of his hand effortlessly. He can really, really spin the football. So I think you'll show that. But yeah, I think DJ is going to run the football and will play for Florida. I don't have an answer. I'd be guessing at anyone right now. I think Billy Napier doesn't know, you know, what the splits would look like, you know, if coming August, September.
The possibilities of a defense having to cover Eugene Wilson on some motion, jet sweep stuff, lag way at quarterback, and you got Montrell or one of those running backs, like having to have your mindset on stopping that type of run game can open up a lot of passing things in that aspect. So we'll see. He got the weapons around him as far as like the run attack, you know. It's just going to be a whole lot of getting creative with the play calling and whatnot. But I think the kid's going to be ready to go game one. I think he'll get packages versus Miami in the run game. And we may see some play action off of some of that game one. That's just my take. And this is, you know.
Yeah.
Very early on this tape.
No, that's good stuff there. See, I'm trying to look through some Billy Napier quotes. He said, first of all, I'd say he's impressed. This is on DJ Lagway, pardon me, it's from his press conference the other day. I'd say he's impressed me with his ability to learn and retain information. He picks it up really quickly. His ability to take it from the meeting room to walk through and then to do it in the practice setting. Today was really good for him. He had to play the situations as they arose throughout the scrimmage. I think the next big step for him is the game management piece. I actually asked him on the field today, do you play poker? Did you play poker growing up? Pardon me. Did you actually play cards growing up? If you played Texas Hold'em and you get a 3 and a 4, you fold your cards and you go to the next hand. You obviously didn't play poker growing up. I guess that there's obviously, I guess he didn't say that he played anyway, but sometimes you get dealt a bad hand and you got to learn how to play the next hand, play the next play, managing the situation, thinking of your decision, making relative to the game and the team within that setting. I think he's done a really good job in practice, but today was new for him. Every day is a learning experience for him, but he's a quick learner and he did a lot of good today. I think he's made some plays with his feet. Played with the twos most of the day. I think that's where he's at. I think he's got physical talent. He's picked up quickly, and now it's about the game management piece next. I'll tell you, it is tough to read a Billy Napier press conference transcript. All right. So, also, Nick, you mentioned that we were talking a little bit earlier about having the ability to talk directly, radio technology. So I think that he said that that's helped him play a cleaner game as well. So that's where we're at. He did mention a couple of players that are a couple of the coaches that were upstairs and downstairs. But it does seem like Jonathan DeCoster, the second offensive line coach that was just hired, might be sitting upstairs. And it looks like Ron Roberts might be upstairs as well. Thoughts on those position or those coaching announcements?
That makes sense. Jay Bateman was upstairs last year, and Darnell Stapleton was upstairs last year. I almost would like Russ Callaway. Not almost. I would like to see Russ Callaway upstairs. If you're going to have a co-OC, you get a way different look. When you're sitting up in the box and you've got a TV next to you, and if it's going to be a true collaborative effort, you know, most of the time, even if you're on the sideline together, you're communicating through a headset, not talking face to face. So like, to me, if you're going to have a true collaborative effort, then you're going to get more out of that. And maybe I'm wrong, but you're going to get more out of that with one of the guys who's collaborating on calling plays on the sideline and another guy upstairs where you get a full 22 view of everything that's happening. Maybe I'm wrong, but to me that makes sense.
Can I ask you a question? Just, I know you guys are there in a limited amount of time, but is Russ Callaway different at practice? Is he moving in an offensive coordinator role? Is he, you know, mainly working with tight ends? Like, what's the vibe of him at practice?
Yeah, so there's two answers to that. The portions that we're at is just Indy. It's just individual drills. Every position coach is only working with their position groups when we're there. So we have to rely on talking to recruits, families, sources, people who are at practice longer than the 15 to 18 minute window that we get, which is just individual drills. Russ has called plays. Russ called some plays last year. I think he was very, very involved in red zone play calling last year. So there's definitely portions where Russ is calling. I don't know that Billy Napier will give up play calling. I think it will continue to be a collaborative effort, but kind of, you know, the buck stops here. Billy's calling plays. Russ did call plays in the scrimmage. He has called plays when they've done 7-on-7, when they've done 11-on-11. But doing it in the spring and doing it in the fall will be different. I did think that, and I think I said it on the podcast, Billy Napier didn't name Russ the offensive coordinator right away. I thought this spring would be an audition period, and he's definitely getting, opportunities to call plays. I think they do a draft, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, the draft might be more ceremonial because the coaches are going to build the teams the way they want to build them to get accomplished what they want to see and get what they want accomplished for a spring game. But I would like to see, you know, Russ calling the plays for Team Orange while Billy calls plays for Team Blue, just to see it. I don't know that that'll be the case, but that'd be cool.
Very nice.
All right, let's get into the defensive side of the ball. This, again, from Billy Napier. this is just about the secondary. When you look at all three of the DBs that we added through the portal, they gained a ton of experience. And then Aaron Gates was banged up last year, so to get him back, he's healthy. Devin Moore is finally healthy. And to throw that in there with Jason back, and then all the rookies that played last year, Jordan Sharif, Bryce, Jakeem, Didi. I always hate leaving somebody out there, but overall that's a deeper group, and I think we've added some good experience. I was pleased with the way that we tackled. In particular, those guys did a good job of getting the runner to the ground. We need to play better back there, and I think Will's done a good job, and I think we're a work in progress, but I like what I see. So I read a couple quotes about tackling. I think I saw some comments by those of you that get to watch practices, Uzak, Rudner, et cetera, that said tackling does look a little bit better, or they're hearing tackling during practice is a little bit better. Obviously, secondary missed tackling last year was atrocious, but Nick, you still hearing the same things, seeing those things? Are we hearing some coach speak here? What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, last year, it's springtime where everyone's happy. No one's lost a game. So Ron Roberts last year, Jay Bateman, the first last 2 years, Jay Bateman was kind of the tackling coach, for lack of a better term. And I thought last year in the spring, I thought they had a new way of teaching it, and you're teaching different situations and different ways to tackle. You're not going to tackle every situation the same. Sometimes you have a sideline next to you and that can help you. Sometimes you don't, and it's an open field tackle. Different players, different positions, you're going to be tackling differently. I thought they taught different techniques and situational tackling, spent more time on that than I had seen from the previous coaching staff. But you're not going to get a coach calling a player out in the spring or saying something's bad in the spring. It's
right.
Time for hope.
Hopium.
Yep. But I do like the players that they added. I think Traquez Bridges, I think DJ Douglas. It's tough.
Tawan's a big DJ Douglas guy.
I like DJ Douglas. I think he can play safety. I think he can play nickel as well. It's tough to comment a ton on the tackling. You're out Shamar James. You're out Derek Wingo. Manny Nunnery got banged up. You're out Miles Graham. You're out four linebackers. So your main tackling guys, like you're down in the lower portion of the depth chart. you know, when it comes to linebackers.
He did say it was a great opportunity for Pup Howard. He said he's been taking advantage of the reps that are available because Shamar and Derek are out. He's one of the most productive players out there today. I think when we look back at his stats, there was a lot of production from him today. He's a good communicator. He's got an edge to him. He's big. He's long. I think he cares about the place. There's something about Florida kids. I think there's a connection to the place and pride there. He cares about UF. Great to hear.
Yeah, love that Pup is getting some reps at linebacker. Been hearing good things from him. I'm not worried about Shamar James's tackling. This is whoever besides Shamar. Shamar has been really good. And it's also just like, just overall defensive or just linebacker intuitiveness and all of that is what I want to see from Pup. He was projected to be a pretty decent linebacker at the collegiate level. So I want to just see his football IQ, and because we were lacking more than just tackling. I think there's a lot of things we were lacking when it pertains to linebackers. But most importantly, our safety and star position tackling is definitely something that we all need to see get better. We're not going to get a full glimpse of this until spring game, you know, especially with the secondary. But we haven't had a secondary that can tackle worth poop in a long time. So hearing that the secondary with the transfers of tackling better is definitely a good sign and a good thing to hear.
Yeah, and they're doing more, and I think you see it on the timeline. They're doing more tackling actual people holding pads. That they start, you know, they start individual drills as a secondary. The entire secondary with Will Harris is doing tackling drills to start. And I don't know that you'll always see that, but I think Will Harris might have thrown his iPad out of the plane when he was flying back to California. And was like, I know exactly how we're starting practice.
Well, and that might be an NFL mentality too, right? Spending the last few years in the NFL, and you really obviously focus heavily on that. You know, that might just be a different, you know, not putting a dig at Corey Raymond, right? Like, obviously one of the best DB coaches of all time. Obviously didn't work out here at Florida, but that just might be a mentality thing that the first thing you see, hey, we've got to fix that, right? Who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Just, well, the NFL's collectively bargained. Maybe he wasn't allowed to coach that way in the NFL, and he got back to college.
Maybe.
He's like, oh, shoot, we can actually tackle and practice. Let's get that done.
Time to tackle. All right, guys. Let's see. On the defensive side of the ball, anything else that you think is worth noting? We're about halfway through practice.
Kelby Collins said
that, game 2 weeks.
Kelby Collins said his move inside. I asked him, hey, is this cross training spring or more long term? He said, I think it's long term. So that's interesting to me. The secondary is kind of my biggest takeaway. I think I've talked about the defensive line and being, you know, a little deeper. But I really think the secondary is much more athletic with the guys they brought in. Grimsley, super athletic. And DJ Douglas can tackle, Traquez can tackle. We haven't seen a ton of Jordan Castell because he's injured, but I like Asa Turner. So I like the secondary more this year, certainly, than I did last year. And they're still going to be young, but I think you did kind of sprinkle in the depth with the three transfers that you got to a young room. So I like that room a lot. Safety and nickel and corner.
What do you think the defensive tackle depth is going to work out? Like with Slackman, you have Cam Jackson, a lot of different moving pieces.
Yeah, I think Cam and Banks, honestly. I think I like Joey Slackman, but I think Caleb Banks has made strides. And another player who I thought, you know, before last year, probably a developmental guy, might take him a year or two. Thought he played really well last year. And then I continue to see him take steps. It might be an intangible thing. I don't know if people hear this. I put a lot of stock into it, but watching the guys at practice, they look to him. When they go into a huddle, he's the one talking. He commands respect. So I think Cam Jackson, Caleb Banks with, when you look at that, Des Watson will be backing up. I think you're going to see Jamari Lyons play a bunch. I think Slackman plays a bunch. There's just a bunch of guys, and you might be looking at three different guys playing 20 snaps or around that, 15 to 25, 15 to 30, getting six guys inside, you know, at defensive tackle, nose tackle playing, you know, and being able to stay fresh that way.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what those packages look like. Because I did think like Cam Jackson is he just lacks some get off and some burst. I thought he could lose some weight, and we still got time for that. But
I like Tyler Miles. Miles said that exact same thing. So,
oh yeah, who, mm-hmm. Miles? Who?
Tyler Miles, who took over for the strength conditioning coach.
Okay.
Cam Jackson needs to drop some pounds, and he knows it.
Yeah.
Cheeks came in fluffy. No check next to the cheek checkup for Nick.
Not buns of steel there. He needs to, like, you know, harden some things up. Pause. I love Joe. Yeah, that sounded nuts. I'll pause it right away though.
Pause again.
So the streets aren't confused.
Cheeks and nuts.
No. That wasn't the exact. That's not how I played out, Nick. But I love Slackman's tape. I thought he could probably be projected as a starter. Has he been healthy in spring? He's been
He was out of his non-contact jersey for the scrimmage, and coming back from a bicep surgery, like a torn bicep, coming back from that, that's really tough. My dad had a bicep surgery. It's crazy to like hear how the procedure goes, but yeah, it's. I think you're bringing him back. Bringing him back slowly. Yeah, I got every day's arm day, so get back to your curls. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It's a huge step up in competition. I think I love that he's a wrestler. I always talk about liking wrestlers who play offensive and defensive line, just because you understand leverages and angles. So, but I think it's not me. Me saying I think Caleb Banks starts, I think, is me just being really impressed with the strides Caleb Banks has made, and not saying, oh, the Ivy League nerd you got stinks. I think it's
your Caleb Banks 2023 takes and 2024 takes.
Different.
I'm liking it. It's positive.
I'm growing. Positive. No, sorry. Always have been.
One guy we've failed to mention today, but we've talked a lot about him. There's a full write-up about him on Gators Online. You should take a look at it. It was written by Zach Abloverdi about Justin Boone. Justice Boone, obviously still in one of the black non-contact jerseys right now, but did a full interview, did a really good job of talking about what Billy Napier means to him, what Justice Boone means to Billy Napier, and everything else. But obviously coming off a torn ACL in training camp last year, this is a good quote. Honestly, I can say that my injury gave me a different perspective as far as coming from a leader, being a teammate. I was able to see things from a different point of view. So I honestly think I am better for them. I'm more equipped for them. Although I may not be 100% back physically, I'm 100% mentally, and I've gotten stronger over the last few months and am going to continue to get stronger. So Billy Napier said that Justice Boone is one of my favorite players that I've ever coach. So a ringing endorsement for Justice Boone and about Billy Napier from Justice Boone. So excited to see him back. I still think that going into last season, we were talking very highly of him. Obviously, the injury is catastrophic. He's going to hopefully come back better than ever.
Yeah, Justice Boone, you're going to save us from the Prince's Uba Kneeling slander. Like, looking forward to that. We're going to be comparing those boys' stats all season long. I got Justice Boone by a landslide.
It would be interesting. And if anyone in our chat watches or interacts with the players, just ask them how many hurt feelings there were in the locker room when Princely left.
It's a low blow.
Nick, you're more welcome to share, but it doesn't sound like you're going to. I'll pull up what he said. There's a guy named Dan in the chat. So immediately my eyes were drawn to it. Says, yo, Nick, you mentioned Will Harris getting tackled in practice at the presser. Got a big smile from Billy Napier. Well done.
Bro, the film doesn't lie. Like, Billy's watching Billy's watching more film than I can guarantee you, watching more film than we are.
I hope so.
Doesn't lie. So tackling was an issue. Brought in a coach who was making it an emphasis. And I saw in the chat, too, people were saying there were only two missed tackles. I didn't hear that. I also didn't ask for specific numbers. It's tough to get specific numbers, but I think that's fantasy land. If you played the first spring practice, spring game, and there's only two, then
if I get in full fan mode, then I'm complaining about my receivers and my running backs not making people miss. Like, what is going on here? Like, them boys got to get it together.
That's the beauty of spring.
It's a lose-lose situation.
That's the beauty. Yeah, the beauty of spring.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about Princely's quotes, or do you guys not care?
I don't care.
Okay.
Enjoy Mississippi, bro. If that, you know, floats your boat, and we'll see if Lane lives up to all the off-season hype. But they got to bring that. We got some chances, some get back. That's my message to our guys. But I watch Princely. I'm a Princely. That's like, you know, in the personal level, I rock with him, but on the field, there's a lot to be desired effort-wise. So,
yeah, he seemed to backtrack a little bit, but definitely threw some shade no matter what.
All throwing shade in them ugly uniforms that they're wearing now. Him, Richie, who else? ETN. Like, good luck to all them boys, but not good luck for real. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think, I guess Trevor didn't like Trevor didn't like where he was in the Georgia depth chart. So he transferred again to Clark County, see what the depth chart was like over there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What's that movie? Longest Yard. an elite football team is built.
No.
Clark County.
Yeah, like, listen, there can be addition by subtraction. Princely was super productive. And like, I didn't get the Princely hate. He led Florida in tackles for loss and sacks two straight years.
And giving up.
I think the Princely hate went too far from.
It's just what he led in sacks in at that spot. Like, there's just
I think the Princely hate went too far in terms of production. I also think if you ask the team, there's not a lot of hurt feelings that he's not in the locker room anymore.
So I don't think it went too far. I think it's about even, right? He took some shots. Florida fans took some shots. He said the little ass stadium thing with Utah. Like, a lot of it be your own stuff sometimes too that put you in predicament.
But if you beat Utah, then that's a fire quote. If you beat Utah, which they didn't, but if you beat Utah, then it's all giggles.
The sky was purple, my auntie would be my uncle, right? Like, if we lost that game and then he had the quote out there saying little ass stadium, of course, fans are at his throat. All year they're at his throat, and there's like clips of him like not finishing pass rushes. I understand his PFF grades. He would share a lot of that stuff on like his PFF numbers. All that's fine and dandy, but from a projection of what he wanted to maybe go after the season record with sacks at UF. Didn't come close to that, and we were just lacking a pass rush in a lot of different ways. He would come close to the quarterbacks and sacking them, but just couldn't quite sack them at a high enough rate. It's all cool, man. Enjoy Ole Miss. You know, we'll see how it all plays out.
All right. Let's get one final ad read, and then we'll close the books on this week's show.
Justice Boone got that number one now, though, baby. We'll see it. We'll see how it work out, baby.
Go visit our friends over at alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road in beautiful Gainesville, Florida. Again, anything that you'd ever want from clothing to accessories to holiday ornaments to a gift for your favorite family member, relative, person that is close to you that is a Gator fan, go check them out. Best selection of Florida Gator goods in all of Gainesville and on the World Wide Web, alumnihall.com. Or Alumni Hall right on Archer Road. Let them know Stadium and Gale sent you. We appreciate it. All right, boys. Nick, you had Song of the Week last week, right? Silk?
No.
But we do that. Nick, you can get Song of the Week this week. You had it last week. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll take a look. If you are watching on YouTube, please hit the like button before you leave. Hit the subscribe button if you are here. Appreciate everybody. Always great. looking at the chat throughout the show. I appreciate you guys listening each and every week. With that being said, let's get Lose Control by Teddy Swims. Teddy Swims is one of my favorite new artists that has made it onto the music scene over the last few years. So Teddy Swims, Lose Control. Teddy, and we will see you guys at the same corner, same time next week.
Something's got a hold on me lately, though I don't know myself anymore. Feels like the walls are all closing in and the devil's knocking at my door. Whoa, out of my mind, how many times did I tell you I'm no good at being alone? Yeah, it's taking a toll on me, trying my best to keep from tearing the skin off my bones. Don't you know I'm losing control when you're not next to me? I'm falling apart right in front of you. Can't you see I'm losing control when you're not next to me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're breaking my heart, baby. You make a mess of me. Problematic. Problem is I want your body like a fiend, like a bad habit. It's hard to break when I'm with you. Yeah, I know I can do it on my own, but I want that real full moon black magic that it takes to. Problematic. Problem is when I'm with you, I'm an addict and I need some relief. My skin and your teeth, can't see the forest through the trees. Got me down on my knees, darling, please. Here with me, I'm falling.